You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Amen. If you may stand for the reading of the scripture, and if you have a Bible in your hand, let's say our Bible confession together. Come on. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Amen. When I hear God's word today, through my ears, down into my heart, lived out through my life, so I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to turn our attention to 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. And then we're going to drop down to 1 Samuel 16, 10 through verse 11. And we're going to find out what God's saying through the story of Jesse, Prophet Samuel, and David. And it reads, 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. I'm reading the NIV. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.' But Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take the heifer with you. I have come," and say this, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. You are to anoint for me the one I determine." In 1 Samuel 16 and 10, it says, "In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons," someone say seven, "were presented as Prophet Samuel. But Prophet Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen any of these seven.' Then Samuel said, 'Are these all your sons?' 'There is still the youngest,' Jesse replied, 'but he's out in the field watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once,' Prophet Samuel said. 'We will not sit down to eat until he arrives.'" So Jesse made all seven of his sons pass before Prophet Samuel. And Prophet Samuel says, "These can't be all the sons that are in front of me. These can't be all the ones." And Jesse said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there is him keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil. Someone say horn of oil. And anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Father, I thank you for the text. Anoint me to communicate this and educate those people, Lord God, with what you want to say to their spirit. All of you and none of me. God, I decrease so that you can increase. Father, I still need you. We still need you for this week. This is beyond me, Lord God. It's a word that you want to give the families. So I thank you that right now, those who are listening to the word of God are in increase mode. I come against every distraction that's on their life, bills that they have to pay, bills that are too much for them to pay, marital issues, family issues. Right now, we put all those at the feet of Jesus so we can touch base with your heart. God, we need you to fix things, but right now we even pause the "God, please fix this" list and declare right now, "Fix us" list, fix me. So God, I pray the prayer, creating us a clean heart so that we may learn your word, read your word, and grow in your word. Devil, we serve notice on you. You will not hinder or cause us to be distracted. We will zoom in and grow. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you a praise. Amen, amen, amen. As you take your seat, say three, give me three hallelujahs. As you take your seats, give God three amens.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you from the subject, "I'm in transition." And Bishop this morning, he's preaching for Pastor Mark Baker at his church in Georgia. Come on, he's going to preach up a storm later on today. Come on, thank God for Bishop. So I'm walking in his anointing on this morning, and I've got a word for you called "I'm in transition." There were so many different characters in the Bible that were in transition in this text. Jesse was in transition because he was focused on the seven boys. He did not know the youngest one would be the one called to be king. Prophet Samuel was in transition. He was not planning on anointing any new people. He thought the king has already been subdued. He understood that God was transitioning from Saul, but Prophet Samuel was actually grieving the old when God was requiring him to go into the new. David was in transition. He was used to being in the backside of the mountain, taking care of the sheep. Matter of fact, since his mental health awareness month, David got used to dealing with his father's rejection. He was not even offended when they forgot about him. He was used to being the child that everyone looked over. Has anybody ever got used to dysfunction in your life? And God pulls you out of that dysfunction, and you never even, and the truth be told, you actually have a problem functioning in function because you learn how to function in dysfunction. You learn how to deal with rejection. We learn how to deal with abuse. We learn how to deal with people not supporting us. You don't even have a problem with it no more. You figure this is my life and I got to live the best life I can live. So multiple characters in this text are in transition. And the Lord told me to tell you that when one is in transition, you have no choice. Look at someone and say, no choice, but to shift. And that's my first point. Someone say shift. I know you were comfortable. I know you wish things were still the way they used to be, but you can't afford to sit down. You have to shift. Prophet Samuel says, I will not sit down until I see all your sons. I know you want me to move from the moment and shift and go ahead and anoint someone now to be king, but in the Eastern, in the ancient Eastern culture, when a prophet would sit down, protocol would start. And he was the head honcho. He was the prophet of Israel. And when he said, I will not sit down, that was something serious. In the culture of the Hebrew native culture, when Prophet Samuel didn't sit down, it meant it startled everybody. Like, wait, why can't we proceed with the service? Why can't we proceed and anoint one of my sons? So Prophet Samuel tells Jesse, this can't be all your sons. He said, oh, you're right, Prophet Samuel. Jesse says, there is a son that I do have, but he's taking care of the little things faithfully. There is somebody else that I could use, but they're focusing on the little things consistently. And Jesse says, send for him, for I will not sit down until I have all the sons in front of me. I know you were uncomfortable. I know you might have been comfortable. Many of us, we wish things were still the way they were, but you can't afford to sit down. You must shift. And I believe for us to steward this transition that our church is upon right now and us to move into where God's calling us and follow the vision that's already been laid out before us. And trust me, you want to listen to me today, and I'm not bragging at all, but if you want to talk to someone who understands the weight of vision and being told that you're called to be something before you could even see it, and some of you have a word on your life that you can't see, I want to talk to someone who can't see what God's saying today. And talk about mental health. Mental health, what can really mess your mind up is when you have an uncle who's a bishop who tells you you're going to be a great preacher one day and you're just 13 trying to play basketball. But there's something that happens in the oracles of God's timing that will shift you into a version of yourself that you could never go to school for. My God. It will shift you into a version of a mom that you could never be parented or mentored by. It will shift you into a version of a leader. It's something about a problem that awakens a solution maker. So I want to talk to someone who does not have it here, but you have it here. And David is the most valuable resource in the Bible that we can equate to a leader that God has grown from inception. There's a value found in your will. Will you say yes when requested for? Oh, 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 oh. How they've been trying to keep you out of rooms. They've been trying to keep you out of meetings. They've been trying to keep you out of information. But someone say, I'm in transition. They're trying to keep you out of stuff, but someone say, I'm going to shift. There's a room, and this room is designed to move you in accordance to your show up. And the enemy has been trying to keep you in a zombie phase mode. But God is saying it's time to wake up and show up. Someone say shift. Yeah. During a transitional phase, one leaves behind old norms, old processes, old systems, old expectations, and embraces new ones. Transition is more than just change. It involves a transformation in behavior patterns, thinking patterns, roles, and identities. And when Prophet Samuel was anointing a new king, he was doing something that his brain never wanted to do before. He serves a God that's a great decision maker. I've served you, God, with your first decision. I'm not used to serving a God that can change his mind. This is Old Testament, not New Testament. Everything Prophet Samuel has done up until now has been exactly what God wanted and has been stable. It hasn't been a change. But here we are, for whatever reason, God decides to transition Saul out. He runs out of grace with Saul. He doesn't like the way Saul's heart has been formed. And he finds somebody else who seems lesser. He chooses somebody else who has less education, chooses someone else who comes from a less family, chooses someone else who has a worse credit score, and says, this is the next millionaire. This is the next business owner the city of Columbia is going to be able to understand. God said, I'm going to use the one that you don't think I should use, and I specialize in transition. In 1 Samuel 16 and 10, it says, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass by, but verse 13 is the unlock. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. 3 things I want to bring out in this text. Let's first start with the horn. The horn that was used for the oil in ancient Israel was a ram's horn. A ram's horn represented strength and represented honor and represented power and authority. The oil always represented jubilee or joy or peace or healing or favor. So God took peace, healing, and favor. And see, he could have anointed him any other way. But something about a horn, a ram's horn, he said, this boy does not come from the stock that fits into kingliness. But what I'm going to do is give him my strength. I just want to talk to somebody. I'm going to give him my power, and I'm going to take favor. I'm going to place it inside. And God says, some of you all been trying to figure things out and trying to figure out how are you going to transcend and transition into what God's called your life to do and what you're called to become. But God said, I got some horn oil for you. I have some strength for you. So we'll say, I'm in transition. Help me, Holy Spirit. So although Prophet Samuel is jovial because he's excited that it looked, although it seems jovial that people should be excited that the next king has been anointed. And the reason why we can get excited about King David being anointed, because we understand what comes next, because we're the reader of the text. We're not walking in the text. So we understand that later on David slays Goliath, but David didn't know that. We understand that later on, David brings back the Ark of the Covenant and brings back the holiness back to the temple. We understand that David sets family up and that the line of Jesus goes through the line of David. We understand the ending, so we are excited about his process. But the one who's in the process is never excited about their process. So we understand this. So part of being in transition is being okay with people misinterpreting your world while you're going through life. That's why therapy is important for those who are called the big mountains, because your brain's playing catch up all the days of your life when you're anointed. Ask me how I know. So Prophet Samuel is dealing with grief, and he is dealing with the bereavement of the current king. And while he's crying out to God, asking God for mercy, as he's grieving the fact that Saul messed up, while he's almost going through the most oppression of his holy priesthood as a prophet, God comes upon Samuel the prophet and said, how long shall you bereave? How long shall you grieve? How long shall you stay in this attitude of thinking I'm going to hang on to the old? How long how you grieve? And he says, get up, for I have selected one of Jesse's sons. Get up. For I have already transitioned. Get up and go anoint the one that I tell you. Transitions are often characterized by varying emotions, including excitement, fear, uncertainty, and even grief over what is being left behind. It is a time when one is leaving their comfort zone to move into unfamiliar territory. Does that sound like the season of our church right now? It's excitement and uncertainty at the same time if we told the truth. So Saul represents what was that still is, and David represents what is but is not yet. So, oh, how we wanted Saul to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, but Samuel anoints David with a horn full of oil. We know that David later on displays qualities of being chosen, but we still don't know if he qualifies. He's had moments where God has used him with bears and lions, but doesn't mean you understand power, authority, and systems and leadership. God anoints us with qualities and then qualifies us later. David wasn't equipped, but he had equipment. David wasn't qualified, but he had qualities. And I want some of you all right now who's been so focused at the end of your career, the end of what you're trying to become, the end of where you're trying to move, can you just pause for a little bit and just thank God for the equipment he's given you? Can you just, I know you're not equipped. You don't feel fully equipped, but you got equipment. What was the equipment? Vision. What was the equipment? I see myself coming out of this. You may have not have been out of it yet, but God's giving you the sight for your next. Some of you all, you're not there yet, but you have qualities. You have qualities of leadership. You have qualities of being a husband. You have qualities of being wife. Can we just thank God for the qualities that God has given us? I'm in transition. 1 Samuel 16:11, Jesse asked, are these all your sons? Are these all your sons? They're still the youngest. Jesse answered, he's tending the sheep. Send for him at once. In this moment, God has shift not just to thinking of Prophet Samuel by trusting that Prophet Samuel will be obedient and not anoint any of the seven because of how they look. King Saul was anointed to be king, but if you know anything about the scripture, and hopefully we have time to go over it, the first thing they noticed about Saul when they chose a king for Israel was his height. They said, look at how tall Saul is. They looked at his outward appearance. They even looked at his family he came out of. They even looked at his brilliance and his handsome. They said, wow, look at the king God selected. Oh, that makes sense. God would choose a man like that. Because he's tall. He's cute. He's powerful. He looks authoritative. That must be the one God selected. And God gave Israel what they wanted. But this time God said, I'm done with y'all eyes. I'm done with your pedigree. I'm done with your version of successful. I'm going to use your brokenness. I'm going to use that trauma. I'm going to use that family that no one thinks you can come out of. And I'm going to bring all that thing up. And I'm going to use the fact that you came from the hood. I'm going to use a bishop that came from the projects. I'm going to use something that no one else thinks I can use. Because I'm the God that specializes in transition. I'm going to take the kid who got expelled. I'm going to turn him into a youth pastor. I specialize with using things you don't think I can use. I'm not using your viewpoint, your vantage point for what I want to deem successful. I will use what you don't think can be used. I will use your past. I will use your record. I will use the felony. I will use the misdemeanor. I will use the misery. I will use the trauma. I will use the mama issues to turn you into the best mama in the world. I will use it deep down on the inside of you. I will use it. And the king that God remembered is the son of a natural father who forgot about him. God said, let me find somebody dealing with the spirit of rejection. Let me take that rejection and turn him into a king. Let me find my daughter who's dealing with depression and let me raise her up and turn her into an Esther. Look to your neighbor, to your left or right, and say, you don't know me yet because I don't know me yet. I want to talk to somebody who's been under some pain, under some pressure, under some turbulence, and tell you right now, you are in transition. You got to open up your eyes and open up your spirit and see what God's doing in your life. You could be worse. You should be beating your head up against the wall. You should have committed suicide, but look at you, elevated and educated. Look at you and all you, what you've been through. And how God has took you through this and took you through that. And I know you're not there yet, but thank God for the equipment. I know you don't have it yet, but thank God for the vision. I know you don't see it yet, but thank God for the faith. Can you just thank God for the qualities, even though you don't feel qualified? Somebody needs to give God a praise, because the last shall be made first, and the first shall be made last. You're in transition. Look to your neighbor and say, shift, shift, shift. Shift. If you're going to be used in transition, you must show God that you have the ability to shift. You got to understand that while you're grieving, you're still anointed enough to birth the next king. I know you're a prophet and you feel like I'm disappointed in the nation. God said, Samuel, you still have the capacity to anoint others for ministry while you're grieving. Come on, clergy. Come on, clergy. That means you can have a mental health issue and still be anointed. That means you can be grieved, but you can still find the next leader. Samuel was a man under pressure, under sadness, and God said, how long shall you be? I know you're grieving. I know your brain's in moggles. I know you're trying to figure out what's the next move for Israel. I know you're confused, but take that confused anointed self up. Someone say, stand. I don't care what you're dealing with, what's going on, and what you stand in your authority. Shift! So he chooses Israel's next king in reverse of how the first king was chosen. The first king was chosen based upon the outward appearance. The next king is chosen based upon the inward appearance. And the reason why you don't feel like you qualify is because of the external factors of your environment and your makeup and what you came out of. But God said, I saw your heart while you were going through it. And when God, ooh, I felt that thing right there. I saw your heart while you didn't have enough money. I saw your heart while they did you wrong. And you thought that it couldn't happen for you because of your condition. But God told me to tell somebody, I watched your inside go through the outside. And I'm going to anoint you based upon who you are on the inside, not based upon what's happening on the outside. You're in transition. Shatarababashoto. When you shift, it's not just about your physical presence or your literal proximity to the promises of God. The word shift is more supernatural. It's a shift that unlocks only by prophetic intelligence. Prophetic intelligence is birth and vision when you don't have, not vision when you do have. So the reason why God allows you to go through that season when you didn't have enough money, because he wanted to make sure that enough money would never have you. So God creates a millionaire in poverty. So that when the millions show up, the millions don't overtake you. God creates a husband in loneliness so that when she shows up, loneliness doesn't overtake you. God, come on, are y'all catching this thing? God creates it on the inside. He'll use your world to form you and prune you. And the decisions that King David would have to make in his future relied on him to bring up the makeup of diligence and faithfulness during times of rejection, because David would walk into an anointing that required him to listen to God and only God and not need approval by men. And as we see, the next king was not caring about what people thought about him. He had some issues. He dealt with some things. But King David was never able to be bent or manipulated by man. Why? Because he was birthed by himself on the backside of a mountain. And the very thing you're in is what God is using to transcend you and transition you. God's been demanding a lot out of you. I understand your pain. He's been demanding growth out of you. He's been demanding adaptability out of you. You have been shifting into a new season or era. The Lord has been challenging you to go so that you can go in. Old things, old ways of thinking. Hear me prophetically. Old identities no longer serve your purpose anymore. The information doesn't serve you no more. Old mindsets no longer serve you. Has anybody felt the grace for old mindsets to leave you? Like you can listen, but you really can't believe it no more like you used to. You're like, no, I'm sorry. There has to be a way. God can do anything, you know. Paul puts it this way. And for those of us who've been dealing with things for a long time and we got used to things, look to your neighbor and say, you still got to press. As long as you're in the land of the living, you must position yourself to be a great steward of transition. You got to be okay with pressing. Paul says it this way, King, Queen, in Philippians 3 and 14, Queen. This is what God says. He says, Paul says, I press toward the mark. Someone say there's a mark. God will always create an indicator that will flash before you prophetically that lets you know you can't stay here. Ah. Look to your neighbor to the left, right, and say, you can't stay here. Woo, I felt that was God. Let's say it again. Find somebody and say, you can't. Someone needs this encouragement today. Look to somebody and say, you can't stay here. Oh. You might have got comfortable. You might have got used to it. You might have finally figured it out. But God said, you can't stay here. Well, God, I just finally got my affairs in order. I finally settled it for myself. I'm finally content. You can't stay here. Philippians 3 and 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a pressing. When you're a person of transition, when you're part of a movement of transition, when there's a corporate word of transition, you will feel pressure. Don't run from it. The pressure goes against your regular. The pressure goes against your ordinary so God can formulate and form you to become extraordinary. There's a pruning associated with the promises of God spoken over your life. For every blessing, there will be a season of testing. For every promise, there will be a season of pruning. You got to understand God loves to mold and shape you on a potter's wheel. You don't get a chance. I know in airports, we have escalators and elevators. And Walt Disney World, they have the thing that makes you walk faster too at Walt Disney World or whatever. God said, it's not like that in my kingdom. You walk by faith and not by sight. And some of you all, church, you've been walking for a long time, but God told me to tell you that you still qualify for a shift. I know you've been faithful over the years, but God told me to tell you I can still transition you. I can still do you. I can still hold you down. I can use you at 85. Ask Caleb. His mind was open to a transition. He was in the wilderness for a long time. He had the ability to be fluid. He had the flexibility in his mentality to serve two different types of leaders. Caleb had the ability to be faithful to Moses and faithful to Joshua. Look to your left and right and say, I can do it. Woo, I can do it. I'm not going to leave promises on the table because I'm stuck in my mindset. I'm not going to allow my miracle get buried in my mindset. I'm going to open my mind up to God using people, places, and things that he selects in my life. After the oil is poured on David, help me, Holy Spirit. I'm flowing my notes, y'all. Now, I can't even. After the oil gets poured on David, all of a sudden problems show up. He gets anointed by Prophet Samuel with the ram horn. What's the ram horns represent? Strength, honor, power, authority. Got it? Someone say, got it. The oil represents favor and blessings and long life and all these things. So he's anointed with oil. One would think after the anointing, the assignment should immediately show up or the appointment should show up. But no, what David experiences is problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. Why do problems find anointed people? Problems find anointed people. The oil was sent for the bear. Someone's anointed, taking care of sheep. Let's challenge him. So David meets Goliath, but this is after the oil has been poured over his life. We know the horn represents honor, strength, and power, but now all of a sudden he's anointed, but he must embrace this contention so that in his life, what's in his life can be revealed outside of his life. Write this down. When you're in transition, God will always lead you through transition with curiosity. 1 Samuel 17 and 26, he's just a boy with oil on his head. No title yet, no throne yet, no kingdom yet, no servant yet. He's just a boy with oil on his head. Some of your children, they're just a child with oil on their head. But God said, get ready. 1 Samuel 17, 26, David asked the men standing near him, curiosity, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this person? The anointing that God has for you when you're transitioning, whether in your career, whether in relationships, whether financially, because some of you all, straight up, You think you, can I say this to him? Some of y'all, you think you blessed now. You ain't seen nothing yet. What God's about to trust you with is going to change communities. You've been focusing on your square footage. God said, I'm going to help you with that. You're going to change the school district. God's about to give you authoritative money. Authoritative money is when your money moves communities. Because you passed the test by yourself, that God can include others. Ooh, I feel it, man. Someone shout shift. Focus. So the anointing deals with our perspective. So David, he's called to view Goliath differently. Everybody else sees him as a giant. There's not one time in the text where David calls Goliath a giant. He calls him by the revelation of his oil. He does not call Goliath by the revelation of what people said about him. Not one time does he call debt. Oh, it's just debt. He calls it by what the word of God told him. Some of you all got to start calling some conditions in your life by way of what God has said to you. If it's a generational curse, call it that. It's not just, well, you know, we got this going on in our family and this is in our bloodline. No, I bind that generational curse of high blood pressure outside my family. Well, it's just regular diabetes. We all learn how to live with it. No, what has God called your anointed self to view it as? So David's not viewing Goliath as a physical threat, but as a spiritual affront to God and his people. This term uncircumcised Philistine was like a cuss word back in the day. David is calling Goliath something that's major. It is a major cultural insult. So David's perspective was completely different than the Israelites. The reason why we've been trying to keep you out the room because we don't like your perspective. Because what you bring to the meeting challenges us and makes us have to be accountable for things that we're used to being dysfunctional about. When you show up, we actually get nervous. So we hide our nervous by trying to bully you. We don't like your perspective. We don't like how you see excellence. So we try to keep you out the room. David, why are you at the battlefield trying to keep him out of the room of his process? The enemy can only steal your promise by making you give up on your process, because you're going to get there as long as you go through. So David is called to the confrontation of Goliath because he sees Goliath differently. He's anointed enough to see a solution in the midst of a problem. He's not like everybody else who just keeps talking about the problem and the problem and the problem and the problem. He is a young man who's solution oriented. He is a young man who sees things differently. So David has a perspective. He has a mindset that God has called and that God has used. And we close like, and we have to learn how to stand. Someone say stand. God shifts in you before he shifts you into. We have to be, God shifts in you before he shifts you into. In 1 Samuel 17, 34 to verse 37, but David persisted. When people try to keep you out and judge you by what you bring to the table, if God placed it on your heart, if God giving you that place of conviction, if God's giving you the ability to see things differently, you got to be faithful to how God wired you. Hear me closely. You must be faithful to the anointing that's on your life, because if you don't show up as you and you try to show up as me or try to show up as someone else, you are being unfaithful with the anointing that is on your life to do business differently, to see ministry differently, to see problems differently. And some of us need to repent this morning because we've been unfaithful to our concept of how we are. God didn't anoint David because he'll one day change. He anointed David because he was the change. There was nothing David needed to do extra. He just needed to go in his process and react to his problems the way he was called to react to his problems. 1 Samuel 17, 34, it says, but David persisted. Listen here, I know you're not trying to include me in this leadership concept right now. I know you're trying to keep the meeting minutes from me. And you're trying to figure out how I know the information when I didn't have access to the minutes. Called the Holy Ghost. I know you're trying to figure out how I keep showing up at the right place at the right time. You can try to keep things off my calendar, but the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. I will show up in the room I'm called to without it being scheduled. I just want to deal with someone who's dealing with some bureaucratic demons on your job right now. The enemy told me to tell you, your supervisor can't take out your success. Them petty political demons that you're dealing with. God told me, I'm going to give you the ability to handle the politics. It was the politics that tried to keep David from confronting Goliath. He wasn't a soldier. He was there to give his brothers lunch. He had nothing politically there to be there. But God said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The transition anointing, the transition authority that was on David brought him in the right place at the right time in front of the right problem. Without it being on his schedule, it wasn't on his vision board, he didn't read a book about it, it wasn't inside his journal. Goliath was formed for David, and David was formed for Goliath. Nobody could take the problem from meeting the solution. Other people tried to face Goliath, they were not called to tackle the problem, but David, from the inception of birth, was called to Goliath from the inception of the problem. You are the solution called to the problem. No one can take your spot. Give God a praise. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm called to it. I'm called to it. You're called to the financial industry. You're called to that family issue. You're called to that health battle. You're called to that situation. You're called to that season. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm called to it. You're called. It doesn't connect with you why I'm here at this battlefield, but I was called. So David, God would use David's father, who formally rejected him, as the prophetic alignment to get him right in front of the problem he was called to be the solution for. The dad who forgot about him now has the ability to remember that this son, who I forgot is not a soldier, he's the one we always forget about. I'm gonna use the one that we forgot about to face Goliath. God used the dysfunctional fathering to bring David in front of his prophetic connection. I don't care how bad your daddy issues are. I don't care how bad your mama issues are. I don't care how much verbal abuse you dealt with. I don't care how much they said this about you. God will use an enemy to bring you into alignment. God will use somebody who owes you money to bring you into alignment. God will use someone who's tried to curse you to bless you. They won't even know why you're blessed. They accidentally bless you. God will use a gatekeeper that keeps you out to open the right door for you. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way to place you in a room. I don't know who's been dealing with some things in this church on this morning. I know it's just first service, but somebody, the devil's been trying to keep you out and keep you out and keep you out. But I hear God tell me to tell you, they can't keep you out of anything I connected you to. So the reason why David's oldest brother, Eliab, questioned why was he at the battlefield, first of all, how'd you know we were here? Someone told you where we were exactly located. How did you precisely come here as Goliath was taunting us? You're not just called to the problem, you're called to the timing of the problem. Give God a praise. Right when David shows up is exactly when Goliath is going around verbally abusing the children of Israel. He's cussing at them, demising them, talking junk about them. God calls a little boy to show up in timing. This is without Google Calendar. This is without Siri. This is without Alexa. Somehow the divine appointment shows up when David shows up. So put the third point up. Show up. God said, I'm going to show up when you show up. I have everything on hold. I have everything on hold until you get there. I know you've been waiting long. I know you've been trying to figure out if you're late, but God told me to tell you I'm holding up everything. The timing's going to meet the person. You've been trying to figure out, will a blessing still be there for me? But God told me to tell you that you're in divine alignment, and I got everything on hold until you show up. I got everything on hold until you show up. Let's remind ourselves, David was not the first person to be king. He wasn't even the first thought. He wasn't even the last thought. He was the forgetful, forgotten thought. You've been feeling like you've been forgotten. You feel like you're not even in line. God said it's all been intentional. I've been hiding you in divine alignment. I have you hidden in purpose. So while they forget about you, God said, wait, I have a scheduled memory. Woo! You're never going to let that devil get to you in that psychological way no more. He's been trying to mentally abuse you, cause you to be frustrated, depressed, and irritated, making you feel crazy about your own mindset, has you questioning why are you thinking this way. You've been trying to change you. Half of the mental health issues we deal with are people who keep comparing themselves to other people because you don't feel like you qualify. But God sent this young, curly-head, ADD, ADHD, in my previous background self, who dealt with mental health issues, to prophesy into your life, to tell you God can use all of you, not just the best of you. Look to your neighbor to your left brain and say, God will use your randomness. Yeah, yeah, you need that random friend when random stuff show up. You need someone who knows how to not be on schedule when something in your life shows up unscheduled. It's time for us to stop abusing people and judging people. Allow God to choose who he chooses. Yeah, it's all being held up until you get there. Everyone standing. Yes, Jesus. Shift. Stand. Show up. Shift. Say it with me. Stand. Show up. Shift. Stand. Show up. Shift. Stand. Show up. Come on. Shift. Stand. Show. How you gonna get through? Shift. Stand. Show. I'm gonna shift. Stand. Show up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's how you gonna beat that devil. Shift. Give God a praise right now. That's how you're gonna beat that devil. You're gonna shift when God tells you to shift. You're gonna stand when God tells you to stand. And you don't gotta do nothing. You just gotta show up when we don't want you there anyway. Pray this over you. God told me to tell you that in the realm of spiritually standing, it's less about you and more about him. Someone say, I have to understand. No pun intended. Standing is less about your physical posture, but it's more about how you take a spiritual stance when that problem shows up. David was reminding his brothers and everybody else curious about why he was in the meeting. He said, I know you don't know why, but I do know. I know why. God was with me when I was by myself taking care of these sheep, and I felt an anointing on my life handle that problem. Woo! God was with me when I was handling that pre-K ministry, and God felt anointing on me handling that problem. And the same anointing on me that handles that problem is the same anointing that helps my family out with the finances. Someone say, I'm anointed for it. And God will test you and grow you and prune you and make you capable and show that you're able in private. That's why you can't despise every mom right now who's taking care of little kids. Give God a praise right now. God has trained you and showed you. Come on, I know it's not Mother's Day, every mama, give God a praise. God will use your children to turn you into the woman and the Deborah you're called to be. And I believe what God's saying to us right now is get your spiritual stance back. All right, Minister Joyce, the same God that took us from 1230 took us to 3506. Same God that took us from 3506 is about to take us to 1701. It's the same God. He's just gonna grow you, make you stronger, make you able. Woo! He's gonna turn the conditions around in your favor. And if they don't perceive that you're king or queen, God will allow a Goliath to show up in their day so they can allow you to step into your tomorrow. They wasn't trying to let David in. So God allowed problems and conditions to give David favor to walk right through the door. And some of you all have been worried about people. And God says, stop worrying about people and focus on the prophetic posture that I called you to in your finances, in your bodies, in your relationships. You are called to those conditions. Heavenly Father, we just give you a praise right now. We worship you right now in spirit and in truth. And we decree and declare right now, Lord God, that we will become better stewards of our transition. We will not doubt you, God, because you called us to something bigger and better. You are the God that enlarges our capacity. You are the God that stretches us for more. You are the God that grows us inside so that we can go into. God, we don't want to be like the children of Israel wandering in our wilderness, missing out on the promises of God because we're moved by Jericho's walls. We will praise you as they fall down. We will praise you as they fall down.
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family Inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.